The Old Testament reading for today's daily lectionary from the Pray Now app and the Treasury of Daily Prayer is from Job chapter 6, verses 14 through 30. And remember, Job is complaining against his friends who are saying that all the bad things in his life have happened to him because he has not been pious enough, he has not been good enough, his suffering is a result of his sin, and if only he would stop sinning, then everything would turn around. This is what we call the theology of glory, or justification by works. And Job is saying, no, I may be a sinner, but this is not a direct result of my sin. This is just random, weird, and I don't get it. What's God doing to me? I don't understand. Chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "He who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. My brothers are treacherous as a torrent bed, as torrential streams that pass away, which are dark with ice, and where the snow hides itself. When they melt, they disappear. When it is hot, they vanish from their place." That is to say, the counsel he's receiving from them is useless. It's like dark ice. You live in St. Louis, you know how dangerous that is. And then how long does it stay? How long does it last? It comes and is a threat and then it's gone. He's saying, that's what you guys are, my friends, who counsel me to justify myself with my works. Verse 18, he continues, "The caravans turn aside from their course. They go up into the waste and perish. The caravans of Tema look. The travelers of Sheba hope. They are ashamed because they were confident. They come there and are disappointed. For you have now become nothing. You see my calamity and are afraid." Now, the idea here is building off that which came before, that these caravans seeking water from the streams, in which there was dark ice, but now it has melted and has all gone away, well, they found nothing there. The wadis, the stream beds are empty. And so instead what they do is they wander off into the desert and there they are consumed. And that is how he, Job, in his soul feels with this counsel that's pointing him back to himself as the answer to his spiritual condition. Verse 22 goes on, "Have I said, make me a gift? Or from your wealth offer a bribe for me? Or deliver me from the adversary's hand? Or redeem me from the hand of the ruthless?" That is, have I asked for your counsel? Did I tell you to come here and tell me what a bad person I am? Verse 24, "Teach me, and I will be silent. Make me understand how I have gone astray." That is, where is this sin you keep telling me I'm hiding, right? And this is the thing. Job was a faithful man. Was he sinful? Did he have a sinful condition? Yes. But was it any different than anybody else's? No. He wasn't hiding some dark, deep sin that no one knew about. He was not impure before his neighbors. And so he's saying, show me. I'll fix it. I'll change it. But I tell you, it's not there. What you're accusing me of is simply untrue. I'll confess I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but I cannot confess to deeds I have not actually done. And so he begins sort of to mock them a little bit. How forceful are upright words, right? You speak so loudly about your accusations and you don't even know what you're talking about. But what does reproof from you reprove? What are you telling me I've done that has directly caused the destruction of my entire house? This isn't about the fact that on the day of judgment he needs to be forgiven. This is about the fact that his house has fallen down, his children have been killed, his wife has left them, and he's got sores all over his body. And they're saying, well, you probably deserve it. And he's like, why? What'd I do? Right, what'd I do? Show me what you're actually reproving. Don't just talk in platitudes about repentance. Verse 26, "Do you think that you can reprove words when the speech of a despairing man is wind?" And what have I got to offer? Nothing. How am I going to repent? I have nothing to give. "You would even cast lots over the fatherless and bargain over your friend." And he's basically saying, you guys don't care about me at all. "But now, be pleased to look at me, and I will not lie to your face. Please, turn. Let no injustice be done. Turn now. My vindication is at stake. Is there any injustice on my tongue? Cannot my palate discern the cause of calamity?" Yeah? I'm still willing to listen, guys, but you can't tell me that this is all just my own doing. You got to give me something more than that. You got to give me, well, what does God give him at the end of the book? Well, it's that I do not design punishments for you according always to what you deserve in this world, but you as a corporate people deserve the entire corrupt, chaotic nastiness that you see. So who are you, oh man, to talk back to God? I have not only cursed you with the fall of your father Adam, more than that, I have set a path to redeem you from it. And that's what Job will confess. That's what Elihu will confess by the end of the book. Yeah, kind of a tough one to read, right? You got to read this as if you're trying to listen to false Christianity's arguments and our response to it. So when Americanized Christianity tells you that if you would have a better life now, you just need to work a little harder on having a stronger faith, you can say these words are like empty streams that a caravan finds and is forced to wander into the desert in search of hope. Whereas the streams of living water that flow from Jesus, well, they don't say go search for yourself to make your life better now. They say think about what Jesus has done and look forward to what he's coming to do then, right? That life of the world to come. That hope beyond all hope that we have because we know that our Redeemer lives.